Attention Kingston! Join us in celebrating 25 years of drag excellence with Tiffany Morgan. We're calling for creative proposals for Limestone to Limelight, Kingston's drag history and future. Showcase your talent and honor Kingston's vibrant drag culture. Submit your ideas by January 10th, 2025, and you could receive up to $400 in funding. Let's make this Jubilee year unforgettable. For more details, visit dragshow.ca.
CFRC 101.9 FM has launched its annual funding drive to raise $25,000 to support station operations, news and creative programming, and upgrades to our recording and performance studios. You can make a difference. Visit CFRC.ca right now and make your gift. Get a tax receipt through Queen's University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. More information at CFRC.ca. Thank you for your support.
Hello, everybody. My name is Joseph Guido. We're here at CFRC 101.9 FM, and today we're here with Richard Hugh talking about his newest release, High Horsepower.
Yeah. Hi.
How's it going?
It's good. Yeah.
By the way, do you have an artist name?
Yeah. My artist name is Forged Rains.
Forged Rains. Okay.
Yeah. I dropped my new album on October 28th. It's out everywhere on Spotify, streaming everywhere, you know.
What platforms is it on?
It's on Spotify, it's on Apple Music, Tidal, everywhere. It'll be on Bandcamp as well.
The name Forged Rains, I'm curious, what made you choose that name? Is there any significance behind it?
Honestly, I started producing under this name in like high school, and it wasn't like, I was trying to do like the weird edgy teenager thing, or just come up with like a unique name that like no one else really came up, or like there was like no search results under.
Mm-hmm.
But like, at the time, I didn't have any like ideas for what I wanted to do with the name specifically, but it's just kind of something I stuck with. If I could like, you know, pull some kind of artistic interpretation out of it, I guess it could be just me wanting to kind of create like worlds out of my music, and to like tell a story with like my releases and stuff. Yeah.
So, Richard, tell us a bit about your album. How many songs are on it, and tell us the inspiration behind it.
Yeah, so it's 8 tracks plus an intro track. The theme of it overall is kind of like cyberpunk-ish, but personally, I like don't really like the current trajectory that a lot of like cyberpunk media has taken, where it's kind of focusing a lot on just like the high-tech futuristic aspects of it, and it kind of like, for me anyway, it feels like it just kind of forgets the roots of like, you know, 80s sci-fi dystopia kind of themes, if that makes sense. Like if you take a look at like Blade Runner or even like the original cyberpunk tabletop, it's like a lot more like politically charged, whereas I find with like, especially with the release of like the Cyberpunk 2077 game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they like work with the original Cyberpunk creator for it, but it's like, I just find a lot of the themings of it just kind of incongruent with the themings of Cyberpunk. Like you have like, you know, the studio enforcing like crunch time on the employees. And it's just like, that doesn't really make sense when you take a look at the media it's based off of, right? It's cyberpunk, but like not really now in the way that people can really conceive of it as now. But then I really also wanted to lean into the kind of retro themes of that kind of era of music as well, which you'll hear in some of the tracks and like the sounds that I used. I used like a lot of rave stabs, stuff that was used in like the 90s and stuff. There's a jungle track on there, which is with a collaboration with a friend. It's track number 9, titled Dancers on the Skyline, that I really wanted to kind of follow the influences of like ambient jungle and that kind of stuff. It's kind of eclectic mix of like genres that I like to work in, with the kind of retro theme being the common thread across all of them.
What also made you choose the name High Horsepower?
it's a common like thing to have motorcycles featured in like that kind of era of like sci-fi, you know. So I just thought that it just kind of be, you know, it's a cool name. It's like alliteration. I also am kind of obsessed with motorcycles. I don't have one, but I would love to own one.
Oh, yeah. Especially in Canada, getting your M is tough. It's just the insurance.
So rough. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. But even on Richard's album art, it's literally a guy on a motorcycle, as far as I remember, right? Or it's a guy with a motorcycle helmet.
Yeah, yeah, Robin. Yeah. I commissioned a really great artist that I've been following for a while, and they do a lot of this kind of like really gritty neon like punk sci-fi aesthetic. I was really grateful to be able to commission them for this art. You can find them at Red Dokubi on Twitter or X, Blue Sky probably as well.
And Richard, would you say there were any struggles you came across during the production of your album? What were some of the main challenges you came across?
Honestly, not very many. Considering it was largely a solo project, I think the struggles really came when I was trying to get more people involved with the production of it. I reached out to a net label that I worked with before. They're called Kreutzwave. They're net label based out of China. I've done a compilation release with them once. And they're also like a visual team as well. They have like designers on board. They help me with like the design, and they're going to help with like the production, the physical production of the CD and all of that. But it's definitely like coordinating like everyone's schedule, especially with like collaborators as well, to kind of get the project, like keep the project on track. That's largely where there were some conflicts, but like nothing too serious, you know? Yeah.
Did you do your own mixing and mastering and everything like that?
Yeah, I did all the mixing mastering myself. You know, home studio kind of things. I'm still a student, so it's like I don't really have that big of a budget to work with.
Yeah, but in a sense, personally speaking from experience, I think that when you mix and master your own stuff, you really can learn how the production can get better. Some ways, and you learn like what you could have done better so that the mix could have been easier. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I'm like, I would consider myself a bit of a crazy person because I literally listen to my music on loop all the time because I'm such a perfectionist. And like a lot of people will tell you, it's just like, oh, you don't have to like, you know, there's good enough and then there's perfect, and good enough is usually good enough. But I'm kind of just obsessive about my work like Fair that. I will like render out a project. I will just listen to it on loop for like hours, and then I will come back the next day and it's like, okay, there's like, this needs tweaking. And then I'll render that out, and I realize like, oh, there's like a little thing, like, oh, there's like this hi-hat right here is like a little too loud because I accidentally doubled it on that one instance.
How do you know when a track is done? How can you be like, okay, I've listened to it enough times, I think it's ready to release? Because I know a lot of musicians struggle with that, where they'll listen to their stuff on repeat. Everybody is very a perfectionist, especially when it's their own work, and rightfully so. But would you know personally when it's ready to release?
That's a great question. I think working on like a solo project like this, where like most of the deadlines are decided by me, it's like you can go forever on a track and it can basically never be finished if you choose to not have it like finished in your eyes, I guess. Like it just the kind of way you like approach it, or you like look at something that you create like that. So yeah, I'm not really sure how to answer that question, but it's definitely
a tough one.
Yeah, it is. It's like I could like give some like more like a clinical answer, where it's like, oh, all of like the material that I have in this track, it's like it's all fleshed out. At one point it will be done. Like I like to bring things back a lot in my music. Like I'll have like an idea at like the beginning of a track, and I'll like reuse it at the end, just like modified slightly, and just to like have those like ideas or sections even just come back once at the end helps to make a track just feel more complete in my eyes. And more like everything is connected And just cohesive overall. So I guess that's like one like landmark, you could say. Yeah. Just to like how I like make a song feel more fleshed out and more complete in that sense. I also kind of have like some like progressive elements where I would have like an idea just play out kind of more stripped back, and then I would slowly introduce like small things like in like subsequent repetitions. I do a lot of in my music where I would just have like a drop and then I'd like have it repeat but just with like hi-hats a second time or something, and that just kind of goes back to like the development of like themes and ideas in my music. It's like kind of like it's a very like classical, like classically trained way of approaching things, I feel, because that's how a lot of like classical music is written. And like I do have that background, pianist of like what, 15 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
You did the RCM too?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Completed that in like grade 9. Yeah.
Damn. Wow. Anyways, we're going to be playing Richard's first song called Destruction in Progress. Can you tell us a bit about that song?
Yeah. So, I kind of wanted to go for like a more mid-tempo, kind of track, which is not usually the kind of music I do. I do a lot of like trance or like UK hardcore, hard dance, that kind of stuff. But I kind of wanted to like start the album off, this is like track number 3, with a more like not necessarily low key vibe, but just kind of like a heavier kind of feel. I also wanted to write lyrics for a track on this album. So I kind of just started, you know, writing lyrics is hard. It's really hard because you have words on your like notes app or whatever, and you're reading them back and you're like, this is cringe, this is so bad. But it's like, yeah, once you like actually put it in the track and you like arrange it and all that, it's like, it's kind of good actually, like once you move past like the initial like cringe of it. So that was the idea for this track, and I kind of wanted to like go off of like the idea that like in like a sci-fi future, you have all this like new technology, or at least in like from the audience's eyes, but it's like that all had to come from somewhere. Like there could have been like if you look at like a futuristic city, there's like obviously there had to be like some kind of civilization beforehand there, right? And like they may or may not have to like tear it all down to like rebuild it, maybe not from scratch, but just like not everything is going to be compatible in that sense. So things are going to have to like taken down to like start anew sometimes. So that's kind of like the idea behind like the theme or the title or whatever. Yeah. Hope that makes sense.
No, yeah, I got it. Anyways, here's Destruction in Progress by Forged Rains on CFRC 101.9 FM. Welcome back, everybody. That was Destruction in Progress by Forged Reigns in his latest album, High Horsepower. Can you tell us a bit about how you decided to blend multiple genres like jungle, hard dance, and psych trance with dark synth?
Yeah, working in like dance music, there's just like such a diverse palette of sounds you can choose to work with. And for me, it's just hard to like tie myself down to like one genre, because like you'll find a lot of producers who kind of choose to work in one genre and don't really kind of venture out of their comfort zone, if that makes any sense. So for me, it's like I enjoy a lot of different kinds of music. I want to like try and involve a bunch of different influences, because I just think music is such like a great thing. Just like there's so people are so creative when it comes to like sound, and it would just, for me, I feel it'd be like stifling my creativity to just like limit myself to work in like just one or two genres. So I want to be that kind of like person who's able to kind of be flexible in the kind of art that I create.
I agree with that.
Because it's like, yeah, I like all these kinds of different music styles. And if I'm able to like effectively create something in that style, like why shouldn't I limit myself? Like I've heard some people say that, like, oh, you should like limit the kind of music you make because of branding issues, and like not issues, but like branding and like marketing yourself like that. And I'm just like, that's just kind of lame.
Yeah. But I feel like a lot of artists need to do that more, because it's very interesting to see what other artists can create through their listening of multiple genres, because everybody interprets music differently and then reinterprets it in another light, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, especially now in like attention economy, like TikTok songs were like, yeah, pop songs were literally like 2.5 minutes now at most. In my eyes anyway, I see it as like limiting your growth and creativity. Just sure, you can make more money, but it's like, that's not the kind of music that I want to create.
Yeah, exactly. Like, honestly, the biggest example of some of these artists that like I think that are really not in it for the money, but in it for the art and their genre, are like, you ever like see those like ambient tracks on TikTok where it's literally just like super ambient synths? There's not much of a melody.
I get it. I'm not actually on TikTok.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm a little bit of a boomer when it comes to like social media. I only use Instagram to like promo my stuff, and I have like a private Twitter account.
Yeah, fair enough. It's probably best you're not on TikTok.
Yeah,
because you can be going down the rabbit hole sometimes.
I get like the delayed and like filtered like TikTok content through like YouTube Shorts, and it like traps me sometimes. And I'm like, oh, I need to get out of here. I'm yeah. So glad I don't have TikTok. It'd be so bad for me.
Yeah, it's honestly a trap.
Yeah. I can like the ambient synth stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even like stuff I don't find on TikTok, but like other places, ambient is like such a great genre.
Yeah, like it's really, I don't know, it's just there's not a lot going on, but it's so simple yet so complex at the same time,
right? It's like it, and I find a lot of it also just kind of challenges a lot of like what people, like the notions people have about like what is music.
Yeah, right, exactly. Getting more technical, I guess. I'm just curious, what kind of like synths did you use in your tracks?
Yeah, so I mainly work in FL Studio, and like the synthesizers that I use is like kind of pretty standard stuff like Serum, Silent, also Vital. But I also use like some Kontakt libraries. I in the intro track, there's like the news intro thing, like the news stinger when the dude is like fiddling with the radio and he lands on like the news station and it plays like the news intro. I scored all of that myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I
was listening.
For me, it's like I like to do a lot of the sound design and stuff. I try to at least do most of like that kind of sound design and whatever myself. Like I use samples. I'm not against samples. Like do what you will. Just for me, I just find it more fulfilling personally to use the sounds that I create.
Understand. I feel like if you can do it, you might as well do it. You right. know?
Of course, no shame in using like samples. Like people, like Splice is huge for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big splice user. Yeah. More for drum sounds. I think I just use it really for percussion stuff.
Yeah, drums. Because like who the hell has the time to like go out and like sample their own drums?
Exactly. It's like
I use, you know, like percussion samples, like loop samples, kicks. I do have like a kick synthesizer. I have Kick 2 that I try to like use as much as I can, because kicks are like so central to like my music anyway, like the kind of dance stuff.
Oh yeah.
Where I really do want to have that level of control over like the envelope, the pitch and like the volume envelope of the kick, and just have that like blend seamlessly into like my sub and the bass, and just like I have it, just like, you know, for me it's just I want that level of polish. But yeah,
100%. Why don't you tell us about your next song that's going to be playing, Hyper Naked?
Yeah, so the title is like obviously refers to like the style of bike.
Yeah.
And it's like that, it's like a really big jump, at least where it sits in the album from tempo, because you have like the track before this, Concrete Jungle, it's like psytrance, like a dark side kind of thing. So it's a little it's kind of fast, but like not super fast, whereas this one kind of jumps up to like 175, I think, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like UK hardcore tempo. And then this one also takes like influence from like the doujin music scene where I do a lot of work in. It's like this scene originated from like Japan. Now it's like super huge for like rhythm game music, which is like also like where I have a lot of I derive a lot of inspiration from. Where they have like scene, like different, like, sorry, let me take that again. They have like different like circles, they call them, which functionally are like net labels, but people do kind of like work on like a smaller like community level, and then everyone comes together and shares their music with each other like that. And there's a lot of really cool stuff happening over there. They come up with just like some like of the weirdest like genre synthesis. Like there's like a genre like they call it future core, where they take like future bass and like they amp it up to like UK hardcore tempo, and it's like it sounds so cool. And then this one is like tech core, where they take like complextro sounds and they just also like crank it up to 170, and like there's like a lot of rave and like dance influences in like the Japanese electronic music community. They really do like, you know, their like aim and breaks and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But like techcore is one of the really cool genres that came out of like the doujin community, and I kind of wanted to take a shot at that with this track. Mm-hmm. It's very like choppy, like it's like a lot of really choppy syncopated rhythmic drops that also have like, you know, that melodic element of like UK hardcore. Yeah,
cool. Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty cool element to add into your music, for sure. Well, without further ado, here's Hyper Naked by Forge Reigns on CFRC 101.9 FM. We'll be right back. we're back, everybody. That was Hyper Naked by Forge Reigns in his latest album, High Horsepower. So this song, when I listened to it, had a lot of piano riffs that sounded like it was from like anime inspired.
Yes.
The anime that I'm referencing specifically is Jujutsu Kaisen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, have you watched that before or no?
I've watched a bit of it. Okay. Couldn't really get into it. It's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But they have, and probably similar to other animes, they have a very fast piano riff stuff. Could you talk more about that? And if it's inspired from a specific show or just specific genre?
Yeah. So actually, like, that's like a very famous sound in, like, not even just rhythm game, but like they have like a term for like electronic music producers. They call like DTMers, desktop musicers. And it's like a very famous like sound and instrument to use in a lot of like Japanese music. They use it a lot in like J-pop. I'm pretty sure they use it in like YOSLB tracks a lot. They call it like zero cutoff piano, because that's literally what you do. You take like a piano patch and then you take like the release and you turn it all the way to zero, so it just cuts off immediately when you have like the note.
Oh, that release. Makes sense. Yeah.
But like a really, there's a really big figure in the doujin community named Fairy Quittus. A lot of their music uses that like zero cutoff piano sound.
It's good to know the history of it, because I always was a big fan of that sound. And then when I was listening to this track specifically, I'm like, he incorporated it. I know where that's from.
That's what I love about the doujin community too. It's like very much like alive,
mm-hmm.
and like new things are happening in it right now, and you can kind of like see people's like inspirations, they like kind of really just pull from each other like that, and it's like such a great thing to see.
Tell us a bit about the next track we're gonna be playing, called Dances on the Skyline by Forge Reigns and Mugatron.
Yeah, so that's the last track on the album. I collabed with a friend of mine who also someone recently released an EP of her own called Dreamscape, and it was very inspired by like PS2 era like 90s like video game soundtracks, a lot of jungle.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I wanted her on this project, because that EP just has like a very like ethereal quality to it, and I just, it's such a great listen. I encourage everyone to go check that out, but I wanted her expertise on this track, because that's the music that she grew up with, and like I wasn't alive during that period. I hope that doesn't make everyone feel old, but like I really wanted to nail that like ambient jungle sound with like the jazz influences and all of that, because it's like jungle is such a great style and so influential, and it's like so important for like dance music as a whole.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just the drums in jungle, like it just works so well. It's perfect, but it's super so syncopated, you know. It's super good. Tight and together.
So I really wanted to do it justice on this track. And like I also mentioned like jazz influences as well. Like we wanted to like have this like huge bridge section in the middle that just kind of plays with the harmony a lot, and it's very like melodically driven, while over like this like super ethereal atmosphere with like horns, like trumpets, mm-hmm. and like piano. I put a lot of like work into like writing out like a solo for that part. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
tell the listeners again where they can find your music.
Yeah, so I'm Forge Reigns on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, everywhere. This is my new album, High Horsepower, out now.
And finally, what do you hope listeners will take away from the experience of High Horsepower?
That's a great question. I kind of just make my music just to make people feel good, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of music out there. I hope I can like at least introduce more people to the lesser known kinds. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just the guy who makes music. That's basically it.
Well, I think a lot of people can take away from our conversation today different things and behind High Horsepower, and learn a little bit more about what your creative process was.
Yeah.
So yeah. Sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you as well. Thanks everybody for listening. This is CFRC 101.9 FM, and I'll see you guys next time. We'll be right back.
Tune in Sundays at 11 p.m. for Orchestral Maneuvers After Dark with me, DJ Squared. Each episode features a great mix of new and vintage, Canadian and international, new wave, punk, post-punk, garage rock, pop, electronica, ambient, and even the occasional remix. Sweet beats are in store for all to enjoy. Join in the fun, OMD, every Sunday at 11 right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new single from Savannah Shea. Dropped on November 8th, A Living Dream is the lead single for her upcoming three albums. A Living Dream draws inspiration from a mantra that Savannah's grandmother has held throughout her life: I have a dream life. Initially interpreted as a reflection on a beautiful life, this phrase transformed after her passing into a powerful mantra of manifestation for Savannah. Now, I have a dream life serves as both a reminder of gratitude for what's being created and a source of encouragement during challenging times. A Living Dream delves into the blurred line between dreams and reality, exploring themes of heartbreak, love, and a search for meaning. A Living Dream features the titles of every track across three albums that will be released by Savannah Shea on November 15th. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream A Living Dream by Savannah Shea now on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
See it whole. same great show, brand new time slot. The Monday mixtape has moved to Monday morning, 7 a.m., so you can start your work day the right way with me, your host, Jesse Bell, as we are curating a playlist around a central theme each and every single week. Mondays are rough, but you can make them a lot better by tuning into the Monday mixtape, Monday mornings, 7 a.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Sheep in Wolf's Clothing's latest single, When Echoes Speak, released on November 18th. The track opens with a mechanical winding sound captured from a clicker borrowed from the artist's workplace, which evolves into the rhythmic backbone of the intro. Inspired by the theme song of Rascal Does Not Dream, the bridge section shifts into a more rhythmic, aggressive reimagining. The final 75 seconds feature intricate polymetric layers and different meters with various instruments, building on a foundation of claps, creating a dense, complex timbre. A unique fusion of virtual and live instruments, the song delivers depth in both tone and rhythm. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream When Echoes Speak on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM. Thank you.
Listen to Let It Happen on Saturdays at 1 p.m. till 2 p.m. for a little bit of psych, a little bit of pop, and a whole lot of... It's only on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Ashtray Whispers, the second release from Kingston-based singer-songwriter Jessica Wallowicz, who will soon join CFRC's airwaves through our Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence program. Recorded at Port William Sound, Wallowicz's new single explores a longing for closure and the miscommunication that led to it. With emotive lyrics and compelling production, Ashtray Whispers became available on all streaming platforms on November 21st. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Ashtray Whispers on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM, supporting local artists since 1922.
Eulogize me in a song I'll never hear. Lay my bones to rest with your fear. Nothing else can move these roots. Nothing but your withheld truth. No stones unturned, every letter burned. I read and reread every word, and I was misheard. So I'll get out of this shallow grave. Wash my claim from your name. Oh, disguise me inside cryptic prose. Caught between the lines that we chose.
irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead.
Tune in on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. for Dark Side of the Tune with me, your host, Tommy. The show where we look at the weird, the moody, the loud, and the unabashed. If the song falls on the dark side of music, then you can bet that we will play it. So join me Tuesdays at 3 p.m. See you there.
CFRC's funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, you also earn a ticket for one of our weekly raffle draws featuring prizes from local businesses including Old Farm.